All right. Well, good morning, Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church. I want you to grab a copy of God's Word and turn with me to Ephesians. We're going to be looking at Ephesians 5 this morning. And the beginning of the week, I start off thinking we're going to do Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. And then at the end of the week, I went, we're going to do 2 next week. We're going to just do 1 now, set the context, the framework, and then we'll go into verse 2 next week. But I want us to start reading from Ephesians 4, 17. So you can follow along with me as we read God's Word, or you can follow along in your copy of God's Word. But either one, let's hear the Word of the Lord. Let's see it. Be edified by the mere reading of God's Word. And may we be filled. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. And it is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And now the beginning of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And then verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, let us do so with much thankfulness, much rejoicing. You are a God who has spoken, and we are able to read your word and continually be fed from it. We come to you now and ask that, Lord, may you open up our minds. May we have our hearts be ready to be convicted. And have a desire to go, yes, Lord, I desire to follow your word. May the preaching of your word be received and be edifying and be one that glorifies you. And in Christ's name we say, amen. Amen. So last week we completed a series on the book of Jonah. And what I like to do in between expositional series is to take a few weeks to preach some one-off sermons or something that has been on my mind, and just preach on it. And Ephesians 5:1 through 2 came up in my reading a couple weeks ago. And it seems very poignant when we think about today's culture. Let me start with telling you this. We live in a world of imitations. We live in a world of imitations. We all, in some form or fashion, are imitating someone or something. Think about what it means to imitate. There's that first usage, to follow as a pattern, model, or example. Think about the people that have had a positive impact in your life. Fathers, mothers, teachers, coaches, pastors even. If you looked at them and said, I like how they did something, I'm going to copy that, That is following their example. That is imitating. Musicians do this all the time. I grabbed a guitar at a young age and went, I want to sound like this person. I still don't sound like that person. Second usage, to copy or repeat. Copy or repeat forms, character, qualities, conduct, manners of someone or something. Think of someone that mimics. People gifted in doing impersonations are those who have the talent of imitating bird calls. Or how about when your supervisor or trainer shows you how to perform a task at work and then you repeat that action? Then the third and fourth usages are similar, to be or appear like, resemble, and to produce a copy of. There is a huge market of alternatives to sugar. All aim to appear like, to resemble sugar without the consequences. And we love that imitation, at least in the Sturdivant household. When I think about clothing, how much is based on people wanting to imitate the appearance of others? I have a certain look that I want to resemble, same thing for my hair and beard. It just so happens to be what Alia would like for me to resemble. But really, though, are we not all finding that in some form or another we are imitating, we are copying, we're repeating things in the world around us? Even when we want to be the person in the room going, I'm the rebel here. I'm not going to imitate anyone. You're imitating generations of other rebels who said the same thing. Saying that you are going to be the president of the local anarchist club. That's how crazy it gets. I think the more we dive into it, we see just how much imitation we do. And I'm not saying to imitate in of itself is bad. For we are called in Scripture, called to be imitators. The question is, who are we to imitate? Ephesians 5:1 tells us to imitate God. Your translation might have the word follow, so therefore be followers of God. The congregation in Ephesus, as well as here in Lake Don Pedro, everywhere where the church is, are called to be imitators of God. And without context from biblical evidence, we'd be left with thinking that we are able to achieve the impossible, that we can perfectly be an imitation, that we can imitate God fully and perfectly in all areas. Because sometimes when we use the term imitate, we mean an exacto knife, picture perfect copy. We are expecting identical sameness, but the reality is identical sameness when it comes to us imitating God will never be fully achieved. For example, and this is just an example in our world about imitation, how it doesn't match perfectly with the real thing. Imitation crab. It does not compare to real crab. And if given the choice, you want the real stuff. Going to see your favorite artist or band is a great experience. Going to a cover band that mimics your favorite band, in spite of all that they do, is not the same. I want to repeat the pattern of a good worth ethic given to me by my father, but I can never be my father, if that makes sense. Imitations can never be fully and absolutely the same as that which they are being imitators of. Such is the case with God. We can never be fully and absolutely the same as God. For instance, our God is wise. Let's stop there. So we are called to be wise. Yet it doesn't just stop there. Our God is infinitely and only wise. Meaning there is nothing in or of God that can be labeled as unwise. We, on the other hand, if we examine our lives truthfully, are probably more unwise than we are wise. Then we talk about the power of God. We have power that we are to imitate God and how we use it. There is power in our words. But that is a far cry from saying we are like God and that we are all powerful. The imitation stops short. So I'm taking the time to lay this out with a purpose for us to properly understand what the Bible means when we say to imitate. Because it is important to know what God's word is telling us and what it is not telling us. We are called to imitate God, but make no mistake, our imitation does not compare to the real thing. It points to the real thing. I want you to also consider how verse 1 starts with the word therefore. Now remember that when a Bible verse uses the word therefore, that is a way that the text connects to a previous thought. That is why we read some contextual verses in Ephesians 4. There is a connection there, a sort of because of this, therefore this sort of relationship. Ephesians 4 has much to say about the Christian walk. And take the time during the week, really, to consider all the different things that the imprisoned apostle Paul is urging the church in Ephesus, the church everywhere, the church here, us, to do. A few of the things can be found in a verse that precedes 5:1, and that is Paul telling the Ephesians to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave them. If I can paraphrase these two verses to help make that connective tissue make sense, like children towards their father, imitate God in his kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiving one another, as with Christ being our example. There is more to our call than that, which we will get into. But for now, just digest what I just said, what God's word is saying right here. Don't just quickly speed by it, which we can do if we've like, oh, I've read Ephesians multiple times. I got this. I grew up in the church. We know these things. God's word is calling the members of the New Testament church, us, to imitate him. And then that leads us to asking the question, how? We look at the verses around the call and see that to imitate God is to include things like kindness. Kindness to your brothers and sisters in Christ, have a heart of love and compassion, and be people that forgive others. Yeah. So then the question, I think, comes like, okay, we're to forgive others. How ought and how much ought we to forgive others as God in Christ forgave you? Yeah. So go and forgive others. Yeah. And then we keep reading backwards into verses 31. Verse 31, we see Paul urge the church to put away what? Malice, bitterness, wrath, anger. Though we are told in verses before that to be angry and do not sin. So that implies there's perhaps a distinction to be made between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. And then there's that word the ESV uses as clamor, just to trip you up, going, what does clamor mean? Which is like disorderly conduct. And then there's slander, which we love to throw around, both the word and the actual slander. Malicious gossip, tearing down reputations, breaking the ninth commandment about your neighbor. What the internet and social media does nonstop. We just use that as a tool to use the sin. To be imitators of God, Paul is saying things in chapter 4 regarding our walk in a way that is like, don't do this, do this instead in your imitation. Don't spread rumors about each other. Mimic God who does not lie. Do what 4:25 says and speak the truth and be kind in speaking the truth. Do not be consumed with wrath. ready to retrieve your pound of flesh for the slightest offense to you, but imitate your heavenly Father's forgiveness. Dare I say, turn the other cheek. From 4:29, don't let corrupting talk come out of your mouth. This is the don't do part. But only such is good for the building up as fits the occasion. That is the imitating God part. Because what do we read about God in Philippians 2:13? We read, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The further you consider Ephesians 4, I think the more we see this imitation being fleshed out by how in depth the imitation of God is, and that why our entire Christian life is a pursuit of godliness. You know, John Gill wrote this regarding this verse, and he uses the King James, so get ready. Be ye therefore followers of God, and this is what he writes. Not in his works of infinite wisdom and almighty power, which is impossible, but in acts of righteousness and holiness, and particularly in acts of mercy, goodness, and beneficence, things that are of benefit, as in forgiving injuries and offenses, and in freely distributing to the necessities of the saints, that's the church, as the connection of the words with the preceding chapter, and the instance and example in the following verse, which we'll see next week. And this should be done by the saints as dear children. As children of God, we pursue to mimic our Heavenly Father. Though not perfect, we as Christians are called to do acts which imitate the Lord. Acts of righteousness, though we are not perfectly righteous. Christ is perfectly righteous. And through him we are deemed perfectly righteous. Acts of holiness, though we are not perfectly holy. Christ is perfectly holy. And through him we are deemed perfectly holy. So I think we have, a clear picture, a little bit of fleshed out of 5:1, what it means to be an imitator. And I think that sets the stage for verse 2. Now I want us to consider some more about, okay, how do we apply this text? Go a little bit more in depth if we can. What does it say about our lives as Christians and how are we to live? And the first application to consider is that we are to live in such a manner that people see a resemblance of God. Martin Luther, who I enjoy, he can say some wild things sometimes, but Martin Luther used the phrase masks of God in reference to how in our stations in life to which we are called to, the stations like vocations, like being parents, members of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, being an example of a retired individual in our congregation, the Lord uses such means to care for every Christian and non-Christian. The way the Lord has given us our daily bread is most often through ordinary means, and not the special like manna from heaven, but the hands of our fellow image bearers. He uses his creation to minister to them. And it is in our following of God, in our imitation of God, that he uses us to minister to others through us. So heed the call. Let us boldly go forth in the pursuit of godliness and have a prayer going, Lord, how can I grow in my godliness today? How can I be used to minister to the people around me and have that grow me in my walk? With everything we highlighted, there are areas in our imitation that we can work on. Perhaps you harbor bitterness. You spend your life angry and resentful against neighbors because of something they did that they probably forgot about. God's word is telling you to turn from that. Turn from following your bitterness turn from imitating a bitter sinner, dead in their sin, and follow your heavenly Father who instead shows forgiveness. But what if, and then you insert whatever you think is an appropriate roadblock to that. Maybe you think that because someone has wronged you enough, or that they have done wrong to someone else, or maybe they just don't believe something the way you believe it. They believe something differently. Their lives are different from you. Then that gives you the okay to then ignore the call that we see in Scripture. That you are to no longer have a concern about building them up, about having to be kind to them, because they don't fit what you have in your mind. That now you don't have to be worried about, do I show them wrath or do I show them kindness? Well, they don't meet this criteria here that I put in my own mind, so now I get to show unbridled wrath. God tells you no. No. Turn from your wickedness. We are to imitate God, our Heavenly Father, in season and out of season. When we want to, when it becomes easy, and when we don't want to, when it becomes hard, when we don't have all the answers, when the people around us are going, you can't do that, but they don't have any scripture to back it up. When the person is someone we like, and when it is a person we don't like, it is easy to imitate him and show kindness to our Christian friends. But how about the believer who lies about you, who slanders you? Is it easy then? But the desire should be, Lord, may we show mercy. Like how our Heavenly Father has shown us mercy. May we show mercy the way Christ showed mercy. What he allowed to be done on the behalf of us. But no, in our flesh, it is easier for us to find compassion for some. We must fight our flesh and follow God, who shows compassion to all, as chiefly seen in Jesus Christ. And that leads to my next point. Ask yourself who it is that you're imitating. God or sinful man? Does your actions speak louder that you are a follower, a child of God, or does it reveal that you follow flesh with a hardened heart? So I think there are many people who will say that they follow God. I get all the answers right. We do these little questions in the front. They go, I get all the questions right. I got it all memorized. Yet, their actions show a heart following after idols. One such evidence is the outright rejection of the call to imitate God in his kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. That rejection is bad fruit. Christians can be mean people. They can be mean. When the reality should be that is an oxymoron. Should be like oil and water. It ought to be like nails on a chalkboard when we see such things in the church. I'm not talking about what the world considers mean. Believe me, which tends to be any pushback whatsoever. That's mean. Any pushback about anything. Using the Bible even. You can't do that. That's not loving. It can be done in a loving way. Pushing back, showing this is what God's word says. And it's not mean. It's not mean. I'm talking real meanness, real unkindness. Like, what did I just step into? Like, people who see children in the sanctuary making a bit of noise, instead of thinking, this is the next generation of the church. Sure, they make a little bit of noise. That's the family of God. Instead, it goes into a Scrooge scenario. Why isn't that boy's mom keeping her son quiet? Or going even farther, like, she must have some poor parenting skills if that's how kids behave, her kids behave in church. And, you know, that is a light example of the meanness. Light meaning I could find several more examples of severity levels increasing. That's like a, it's not the purpose of having every example, okay, of this sermon. So I think there is a problem, a real problem, where Christians think that they can hold on to such bitterness, hold on to such curmudgeonness. Thank you. And think they deserve an A+ for their imitation of God. Walking around going, I'm imitating the Lord, doing this or this. Look, I've read this book. I could read it backwards and forwards. I've read this latest thing of this. But yet, your walk shows a lack of tenderheartedness, a lack of compassion, a lack of kindness. Instead, let us check ourselves according to God's word and have it be our desire to not be hypocrites, but to pursue godliness. And then we come back to the truth. We pursue that which we cannot fully imitate. Again, monk fruit can imitate sugar, but it will never be sugar. All plant-based Beyond Burgers aim to mimic a hamburger, but it will never be a hamburger. The Pauline call to therefore be followers of God comes with it a list of different things to imitate, which we've covered just some of them. Each and every one of us ought to go through Ephesians 4 and elsewhere and see areas we do good in, areas that we can improve in, areas that we go, I've heard of that, I should be implementing that. And then others, like, I am severely lacking. Lord, help me. Pray for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to snuff out indwelling bitterness, and have grow their kindness. You might have the putting off a quarrelsome self, your quarrelsomeness, and disorderly demeanor as something that you are good at. But then you struggle with being tenderhearted to older saints in the church. You may have the kindness part put down, but then deeper, your kindness comes with parameters. That if those parameters are not met, then wrath comes towards any who have wronged you. A vendetta that goes on and on. We each have areas in our sanctification to work on, and we ought to ask the Holy Spirit to continue working in our hearts. And go, there's so much more work inside of us. I'd be remiss in not telling you about he who perfectly turned away from sin, though. He who knew no sin and spoke much about his heavenly Father, to him he is the begotten Son of. Jesus Christ was perhaps the most justified out of anyone to have any symbol of evidence or reasoning to go, I could be bitter here. I could have wrath here. I could be angry here. But yet he shows mercy, kindness, compassion. And he does so perfectly, for Jesus Christ is both God and man. We fall short in being perfect followers, but we rest not in our perfect walks, but in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, who is perfect in all things. Our hearts ought to be grounded in the truth regarding the Lord. We fail often as Christians in our imitating God, yet we still pursue living in such a way that shows that we are thankful to Christ. The forgiveness we receive truly is amazing grace. And that amazing grace is like fuel when we remind ourselves of the amazing grace we have given, that we then go forth and in recognizing the grace and the mercy that we have received, the forgiveness that is found in Christ, that what God has done for us, we then go and desire hearts that go, yes, let us put our hand into action and seek to imitate, seek to follow our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we come to you in prayer, we desire that, Lord, may we grow in our understanding of what it means to follow you. Lord, whatever reasons that we are convicted, like, Lord, I can grow in my walk in you. May we make today the day that we go, no more excuses, but we will follow you, the Lord. Let's be like the people in the Bible that go, yes, Lord, I have decided that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And with that desire, that hope, may we grow in our godliness, in our pursuit of such godliness. And then when Christ returns and all of our sin is removed, we are in your presence, and for the rest of eternity, we get to praise your name. In Christ's name we say, amen.